Radio, N0TR. Good afternoon, Jim.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I was just helping Bernice put some lead in the bottom of a Christmas surprise here, because there's only going to be an envelope in this one, and you got to make them think they're getting something bigger.
Well, it's coming, envelopes, KO4LA.
Yeah, I think you'll be satisfied. You don't know what to buy teenagers, you know, so you generally speaking just give them money and then they can buy their games and that off of the internet or whatever they want to do, which I'm almost certain they'll do.
Things that we would never even think of, so I think that's a good plan.
And you don't have to go shopping or experience Woodruff Road.
When my kids were growing up, that's what they kind of preferred, a gift card to something or, you know, some money to spend the way they wanted to spend it.
Yes, and especially now with these kids, they live online. But both grandsons are doing real well in school, and they do their studies, and they're active in different sports, and got no gripes here, Jim. I'm proud of them.
Well, the kids have troubles these days, but, you know, when your kids are heading in the right direction, that's a blessing.
I thought I heard a siren or something there. Probably not. Anyways, I just taking a break. I've been out and fed the chickens and got nice and cold and said here, watch the weather, and making out a log sheet from a radio, and I was trying to figure out a different way of switching a switch over here to my ham radio stuff that I'd like to modify, but I don't know, I think I'll have to go to plan B on that. What are you up to today?
I've been working on an article for a drone blog on what parents need to know about drones, and so I'm going to have that out by the end of the day, but in the middle of that, I've got to go do some emergency Santa shopping.
It's Andrew TR, just what I mentioned. Oh, shoot. Well, I don't envy you, I can tell you that, and I believe I'd still wear my mask if I was you.
Flippant about it, but I give up on the mask idea.
Each his own. We still wear them if we go into a store or something about 99% of the time, unless there's just nobody in there. But I got a lot of health issues that you don't. And so we just err on the side of safety and avoid the crowds. Where are you going to go shopping at?
It's a big sewer quilter kind, so there's a place on East North Street, I think it is, that sells Bernina sewing machines and other things like that, which she has used ever since we were married, and so she's real big on that. So I thought maybe a good sharp pair of scissors or something like that.
On, you know. Well, that's nice. You need to get over here and bring your wife. Bernice has got 9 sewing machines, Jim.
What's she got?
Oh, no. She used to sew for, she did all the alterations in leather and you name it, exotic things like, if the cleaners would mess up something and it had snake skin in it, or it could have been mink or chinchilla or anything, all the way to the Kansas City Highway Patrol's leather jackets. And then also she did some for Branson for the movie stars.
Here, Tom, KO4LA. KB4CBA.
Well, good afternoon, Dave. It's a chilly son of a gun out there. It's 44 degrees, Dave. What are you up to?
About 6'3", about 200 pounds. Me and Steve just got through eating lunch, so I might weigh a little bit more than that. So, at Harvey's over here in Taylor, so, and he's listening, and, so I won't say anything bad about him, I'll tell you later. But anyway, oh, man, I don't have anything bad to say about Steve. He's a good fella. I hope you're doing well today, Tom.
Yeah, I'm up to minimum wage. I don't know if I'm up to the same height as you are, but, oh, shoot. Well, Bernice is beckoning me up there. I don't know what she's wanting. She's baking something, but I just been out feeding the chickens and that, so I better sign with you and let you go, Dave, and you have a good day. Keep me 4CBA and 0GR73.
All right, when I get on 2 meters, everybody clears out. If you want to clear the frequency, just let me get on it. N0TR, KB4CBA. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Dave, and no, that isn't the reason at all. See you later, N0TR.
Information. That stupid train is still sitting still on the tracks here on, runs parallel with Rutherford Road, and they got some of these, freight, what do you call it, they put on tractor trailers, freight containers, they got them stacked double high in a leaning curve. That, to me, that didn't make a lot of sense. I don't know why it's sitting there, but I guess I got a good reason.
PXB.
04 PXB KB4 CBA.
6B. Yeah, when the train always stops there in Spartanburg on the same way and also pretty much different locations, is because that transfer station that's not far from the airport on right before Highway 14, that southern inlet, actually gets backed up, and they actually have to wait before an unloading station gets there to be able to allow them in.
Seems like they could stop somewhere else. Oh, my gosh. Here's the end of it. Like, one car, if they could just pull up one car, this side street could be open. But anyway, and then there's a long stretch here on Rutherford where you don't have a turn in that direction. It goes over the tracks, and then you've got let's see, maybe one or two more, and that's about all she wrote. And then you get to go over the bridge. But anyway, well. But they got problems too, so I tell you what, it probably has something to do with COVID.
Also, if they're actually stopped at a station where the arm actually comes down, they're fined $1,000 every hour that they're actually having that gate down and not moving.
Been there 3 or 4 days now.
Time and said they may have stipulations on how much they can actually be charged, but I know the one in Spartanburg, when it's like that the there's a little caboose train station there that people go in and actually tour, and one of the conductors that used to be on the train, he mentioned that, yeah, that they're fined $1,000 an hour when they're actually stopping across a roadway like that.
Yeah, my brother-in-law worked for the Laurinburg Railroad in Laurinburg, North Carolina, and interesting story. He was sitting on the front of the engine, and evidently they were just like in the yard or something, weren't moving fast or anything, and he fell off, and it took I can't remember which one, but it took one of his legs off, and they had to. Well, I mean, they couldn't repair it, so they had to amputate it. And he was 19 years old, and he's stuck with them. I guess he got a desk job or something, but and he walked around on crutches. He passed away last year, and I think he passed away the first of this year. And so anyway, but I saw a Laurinburg engine, just the engine, in Easley, and it was just sitting there on one of the tracks in Easley. That's really interesting to see that.
Cool. Yeah, my parents grew up in Laurinburg, and I haven't been back there in at least 35, 40 years once they moved away. It's probably been 30 years since I've been back in that area. I know it's definitely changed a lot now.
Imagine it has changed to a certain extent in 30 years, but there's not a lot of growth there. They don't have a lot of people coming in. There's a university there. I don't know how popular it is. I don't know anything about it, really. I can't even remember the name of it. But they lived there in a house. I can't remember the name of the subdivision. But the house they lived in, it was on a pond or a small lake. And it was featured in Southern Living, I believe. And it's a real unique electrical system. The guy used relays and stuff on the light switches. So when you had rocker switches, and when you turned a light on, then it sent it tripped the relay in the garage, and that sent 110 back to the light bulb. So that was real convoluted, but this guy that built the house was an engineer.
It took a long time to obviously do. Because my dad mentioned that once the paper mill in Lumberton pretty much went out of business, there pretty much everybody moved away, and shortly thereafter he joined the Navy and was transferred to his Navy, the basic training part of it.
It's really sad. I mean, Greenville was at one time back in the 60s and 50s and 60s, probably early 70s, was known as the textile capital of the world, and they actually had a textile show at the Textile Hall. I think that's where the TD Convention Center is now, or whatever it's called. It's not called that anymore. Of course, all that. People came from all over the world, literally, to that textile show. And all the mills shut down, or most of them did, and scaled way back. And it was really a sad thing to see, because a lot of the mill towns, mill villages, was like a city within itself. I mean, you didn't have to leave the mill village to get anything you needed. It was right there.
Definitely pretty cool. I like those towns like that that pretty much have all the meat markets and the groceries and the pharmacies all in one, but they're definitely expensive. Me and my wife were looking to move into one probably about 12, 13 years ago there in Simpsonville, but it was just so expensive, and it was just impossible to actually do.
Got these places on for a day, it's like that, but you probably got to have at least probably half a million just to buy one of the cheaper houses, and you could spend a heck of a lot more than that if you want a real nice house.
over there. Well, I guess I better hang up and drive here. I'm looking for a place here in Cherrydale, and I'm not finding it. So anyway, good to talk with you, and Merry Christmas. If I'll talk to you again, this is KB4CBA.
KO4PXB, I'm 73.
Secure and monitored.